Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Give it up for all of our campuses online and around the world. Today we're going to be talking about opportunity. Shout that with me, opportunity. Opportunity. Number one, opportunity shies away from need. See, people go to a job interview and they really, really want it and they try really hard. They look like beggars. I see girls sometimes need a guy real bad and they get a bad guy. Come on, can I get it? Don't point at anybody, but it happens, opportunity. But God has loads and loads of opportunity. And just this last week at this campus on Tuesday night, I was preaching. By the way, it's kind of cool, speaking of opportunities. We have six campuses right now all singing the same songs with live bands in two states. Give it up again for all of our team. That's impressive. Helping a lot of people. Opportunity, opportunity. So Tuesday night I was here and I heard the Lord say to me, opportunity, 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 four times. Opportunity. I want you to start looking for opportunities for God's presence and his power to show forth in your life in a new way. Don't get all bogged down thinking that this world system is your system. You have a different system, and it's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. You might be old enough to remember this song. I'm really not old enough, but Arden played it for me. There's a song that says, Mama said there'd be days like this, there'd be days like this. Yeah, my mama said. What Jesus said, there'd be days like this. He said, in the last days, there would be perilous times, times hard to deal with it. But he said, see to it that your heart is not troubled. So our job is to say, see to it that our heart's not troubled. So every week on television, there's something new. It's this, it's that trial, it's this war. I'm not denying that's existing. But I am denying its right to exist in our life and say, even though we're going through it with them, we're actually going to it. Come on, somebody help me right now to do what God called us to do. Come on, you can do better than that. It's an opportunity. But sometimes fear keeps us back. We're afraid. We went diving a week before last. Nicole and I were on vacation, and she loves to dive. It's kind of embarrassing. I didn't want to tell this story, but she's like a Navy SEAL, and I'm so not. Like, I hate diving. There's something about throwing me off in the middle of the ocean with weights tied around me, 200 pounds worth of oxygen, my mask is leaking, and sharks are, you know, kind of hanging out. How many of y'all would agree that that's not necessarily where God intended me to be? Raise your hand for your pastor, all campuses. And Nicole's always like, she doesn't like it. She loves it. She just jumps in. She's swimming with them. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So years ago when she first got me doing it, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't as bad. But somehow over the years, you know, some friends have died, you know, drowning, whatever, COVID, you guys. There's just a lot of pressure. Come on, help me right now. And so when I get under there, there's the opportunity to see all this wonderful wildlife, and it really is cool. Once I got in there, again the other day, I overcame the fear, and I got to see like a 400-foot-long shipwreck. It really was cool, but first I had to not be afraid. It's easier said than done. We first got in the water, and there was like four or five other people there, and I knew I was holding everybody up. So number one, I have fear of man. So I'm like, I don't want to hold these people up. They're on their vacation. My mask is leaking. I'm freaking out. So I opted out relatively quick, like within a couple of minutes. Come on, go with me. I was like, all right, I'm out, right? You know, as I'm sitting on the boat and the boat is rocking and Nicole is seeing all this cool stuff, I started talking to myself going, self, next time, because it's a two-tank dive, you're going to go. So Nicole gets back on the boat. It was great. I saw this. I saw that. And she's like, are you going to go on the next dive? And I said, I am. I've made up my mind. I'm going to be brave. And Nicole's like, this makes me feel so weak. But she's like, honey, I'll be with you. I will hold your hand. When you saw us holding hands, you know, I looked brave. Like, I got her hand. No, she had my hand, okay? And between the dives, the guy said, I said, man, I don't know what's up. I just keep panicking because my mask starts leaking. The salt water gets in my eyes. And he said, hey, don't tell anybody. But I do that every time. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to tell everybody. But the second dive, I did it. And I got to see all this great stuff. But there was an opportunity. But I had to overcome the fear. So I want to talk about today overcoming the fear of allowing God to control your finance. Now, number one, raise your hand if you could use a little more money. Gas is going really high. Inflation's absolutely crazy. How, if you didn't raise your hand, I want to talk to you today because we have some projects at the church and you seem to have a lot of money. But God wants you to trust him, but it's not natural. Here's what I want you to get a hold of. It's not natural to jump off a boat in the middle of shark-infested waters with a tank on. It's not natural. And it's not natural to give away what you feel is yours. So number one, we have to establish that the money that God blesses us with isn't ours, especially when it comes to tithe. The word tithe means 10%. It means the tenth. And so the Bible says that the tithe belongs to, anybody know this answer? To the Lord. But it's really hard. Sounds great. People like Nicole, she'll just give away all of our stuff. Oh, yeah, we'll just give it away. Oh, we'll just give this away. Oh, we'll give it. I say, hey, on a second, you know, slow down. Because she's very generous, and I'm generous to a point, but come on. So people have different personalities. In fact, I have multiple personalities. Anybody else? So now God has opportunities, but we have to say, all right, I'm stepping out, and I'm going to do it God's way. And I think this illustrates it well, speaking of water, Luke the 5th chapter, verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, Jesus had, you know, been speaking out there on the water. He said to Simon, put in your, they were in the fishing boat, put into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and we caught nothing, but at your word, we will let down your nets. And when they did this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Notice they're in the boat and they're in the same boat. And he said, God, we did this without you and we caught nothing. And God says, throw it on the other side. We're in the same lake. We're within 10 feet. What's the difference? Obedience is the difference. Obedience. Everybody shout obedience. The Bible says that obedience is a blessing exchange. It says that God chooses obedience over sacrifice. Obedience. So as soon as they threw out this net, all of a sudden now they're in the fishing business. God honors their obedience and they get a net breaking, ship sinking load because they switched systems. They were doing it without God and then they started doing it with God. And let me tell you, when you honor God in any area of your life, he will honor you good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. He's an honorable God. Go ahead, give it up. But it doesn't feel natural at first. Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. Notice it's not last. The first fruits of all your increase. All of it? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst forth with new wine. First fruits. God's all about getting the first. So even I've watched people do this over the years that they would tithe, but they would pay all their bills first and then they'd be like, well, if there's any left over, I'll give it to God. And there won't be any left over because if you don't honor God, then you don't put the supernatural, tangible power of God upon your life. And then God thinks that, well, you're not capable of being faithful over the little. You have to be faithful over the little before you're made ruler over the much. So you got to be brave and be like, you know what? I'm jumping off in this water, and I'm going to do it because God said do it. Now, at all campuses today, raise your hand if you've kind of, you're old enough now to realize that most of the stuff in the Bible that even if you don't like it, you're like, man, this really is true, right? I hate it, but it really is true. You're like, I don't think I agree with that, and then it really is true. By the way, there's an all-out attack on the infallibility of the Word of God. A lot of what is going on in the world around us right now, globally, is all in the Bible, in Revelations, of a one-world order. God warned us about this, and so people are trying to discredit it, but I'm here to tell you, here's the good news. Jesus is coming back after a spotless church, after a glorious church, not a fleeing church, not a weak church. Come on, help me right now. He's coming back after a glorious church. Jesus is. But we got to trust God. Tuesday night at this campus, there was a guy here, and he's a kingdom builder. He's helped us a lot with the church. Actually, my friend, who I got saved, he really wasn't a friend. He just started coming to the, heard about the church, he came. He's kind of a bad guy in the sense that he was a bad business guy. In fact, but he was a good business guy, but a bad, you see what I'm saying right now? He's like, made a lot of money, but they're not a good guy. And he introduced this guy to church, and this guy had a, it was a great family guy, but he didn't know about Jesus. And this dude came to our church about 8 years ago. He started honoring God in a big way. And And he's always, you know, text me every few weeks or maybe a month or so and be like, hey, look what God's done here. Look what God did there. So Tuesday night, I brought him on stage. And if you weren't here, you didn't see it. And so it's very important. I want you to see this. A few years ago, there was a guy who got saved in our ministry and had a radical transformation. And he invited he and his wife to church, and they were doing super good and financially, and everything was great in their life, and had really kind of a mansion at the lake with the pool. I was at his buddy's house next door to him. It's amazing before I knew him. And all of a sudden they came and their life started changing. Then his business just started going. He started tithing and giving, and it just started blowing up. Then he had another idea, because God will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And so he sent me a text the other day. Let's go see some of those pictures. You didn't know I was going to do this, but he sent me a text. And so the text pictures look like this. Like, hey, Pastor Dave, I got this one business, but I actually went in and now I'm building a whole condominium development on the Lake of the Ozarks. This is all getting done. And they're almost like the one section's all sold out. This is what it looks like. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Look at that pool and look at all the stuff you've done. That's just your side hustle over here. It's just phenomenal. But I just kind of wanted Florida to see and our church family to see, number one, I'm proud of you being a man of God. I'm proud of you being a kingdom builder. I'm proud of you standing for righteousness. I'm proud of you for being a business guy. And I just kind of wanted you to encourage people. I know this is not what you do. Just kind of take a few minutes and tell us your story.
We started coming to church here, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago. And we started tithing a few years probably after that. And my wife and I, Katie, decided we did it on our own our first 20 years. But, you know, we did well, but there was something missing. And so we started tithing, and we thought, well, the next 20 plus, we're gonna go God's way. And it opened up and you mentioned earlier about opportunity. And you came and prayed over us one service, and you said over the next X amount of years, God's going to prosper you. And in 2020, you're going to have your banner year. In 2020, we truly had a banner year. God prospered us in our finances, but not only that, but with family. But, you know, this ministry is awesome. It truly is. It's changed our life. Yes.
Come on, give it up for him. You guys are kind of clapping kind of halfway today. Now, just think about this for a minute. How many of y'all wouldn't mind having a side hustle that looked that big? How many also would vote that that top big condo should be owned by the church and we should all share it? Raise your hand if you agree with that right now. Just checking, okay. But what happened was he decided to honor God, which is unnatural to say, I'm going to not only tithe off of my income, I'm going to tithe off my business. As a result, God said, wait a minute, are you serious right now? I've been looking for guys like you. We see that test failed in the Bible by a guy who was, anybody heard this term, the rich young ruler? Raise your hand if you've heard that. So the rich young ruler was the guy who had a lot of money, but actually he didn't have a lot of money. A lot of money had him. So then he had all of his possessions, and he came to Jesus and he says, hey, I want to be a part of your ministry. And Jesus says, sell everything you own, give it to the poor. Now, it wasn't that Jesus was against people having money, because people he knew, in fact, his disciples said, well, then how can we be your disciples because we're loaded? He said, no, this guy is failing the test. And this guy said, hey, I've done all those top 10 things that you talk about, the Ten Commandments, but he said, this one thing you lack, one thing. He couldn't trust God. He was like me. He was scared. He's like, man, I don't want to jump off in there. It's unnatural. But therefore, he walked away. The Bible said the rich young ruler walked away sad at that saying. God was looking to bless him, but he was holding on to the stuff. Can Christians have money? Yes, we should have money. Yes, we should be empowered to do great exploits around the world. In fact, in Haiti right now, I keep getting all these great pictures of all these people who are being rescued in an ambulance that you bought, oxygen that you bought, going to a hospital and a care center that you helped build. Come on, give it up. That feels good, right? That's what the church is for. So why does God want us to bring in the tithe? So we can be blessed, so we don't have just our one income, but we have multiple forms of income. We see this in Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me every day. You ask, well, how have we robbed you? He says the tithe and the offering. Notice the tithe is 10%, and then you decide about the offering. That's how. And now you're under a curse. See if this sounds familiar right now. And the whole nation is under a curse, the King James says, because of you robbing me. The verse 10 says, bring all of the full tithe to the temple. So you can't just be like, all right, I'm going to do what I want with the tithe. Where do you? You bring it to the house of God, and therefore it is distributed. So there will be ample provision in my house. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. He says, test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. So when that guy, who by the way is here right now, I see him and his beautiful wife. If you're wondering, you know, how he got a hot wife before he had money, I don't know, but he's a smooth talker. But we can look at him today and we can try to judge his harvest because we see his harvest, but we did not see his seed. He tested God and God flung open the windows of heaven, and he's done it here, he's done it there, and he's done it everywhere. In fact, today, think about this. Scott Criswell at Weldon campus right now. Weldon campus, there's a guy there named Scott Criswell. When we first started coming to church, he didn't have two nickels rubbed together. God bless him so much, he worked his way up through the company that he worked for, and he ended up being the president of the company. And about 3 or 4 years ago, because he was such a good tither and he obeyed the Lord so much, that God gave him an idea and told the boss, the head boss beyond the president, he said, I feel like, I know it sounds crazy, but God told me that we should get in the hand sanitizing business in a big way. We should start a hand sanitizing department. We should start a lab. We need to research this thing. And so, in fact, now he said, the Lord's leading me to China. So Scott is in our Kingdom Builders, and Scott kept sending me pictures and saying, I'm over in China. This is way before COVID. This is back when people didn't wash their hands. Come on, somebody right now. And so he's over in COVID land over there. He's over near the labs, and he's now got Symmetry, his product that is right here in Missouri that they built. And then when it all hit the fan, not only did the Blue Stadiums already have giving Scott money, and the Cardinal Stadium giving Scott money, and all the hospitals gave Scott money. When the stuff hit the fan, all of a sudden now he started getting Michael Jackson money. Come on, y'all see what I'm saying? He got so rich. He was so rich you would think he would have went to the lake. He would have left. He's at church every stinking Sunday serving God, obeying God. He tested God, and God pulled him out a blessing beyond his wildest dreams. Come on, give God praise today. Now, it's not natural to do that, to jump off the back of a boat in deep water. The enemy will tell you, you can't do that. How would you do that? No. Think about this. Would you rather have $10 without God or $9 with God? I'll take the $9 with them. So you, and by the way, you don't give it, you return it. I think... Eduardo, come here, Eduardo. A while ago, I was sitting on the front row, honest to God, because I had this 50, because you wouldn't look at me, but I kept looking at you thinking, God spoke to me to give you $50. And so I'm not doing this to impress you. I'm just saying this is what I do. I walk around and I bless people. So Eduardo, if he would have looked at me, he'd have got that earlier, but he didn't. He was too busy, like, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. And I just looked at him and I felt the Lord say, bless him. He's blessing me. And I'm like, well, why don't you bless me? He said, you're not praising me like Eduardo is. You're watching him. Like the little kid, I don't know if you heard a little kid at school. He said, Susie had her eyes open while we were praying. The teacher said, well, how did you know? So God's looking for somebody that he can bless. Here's the question. Are you blessable? You got to be alert about this. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. God is always on the alert, consistently on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. He's looking around to see who he can bless. But first, you have to be blessable. You got to know the difference between saying, God, I love you, and God, my whole life is yours. When I think today about our brothers and sisters, thousands of them trapped in Afghanistan, being killed because they have the Bible app on their phone. This is really happening. We have people on the ground there. And when I think about what is happening, I also think about the other people who are being protected by God, even though they're not being protected by man. Here's my whole point. Wherever you're at in life, give God everything, because right now, I promise you, if everybody in Afghanistan who loves God, if they could come to church here today, how many of y'all believe they would be here? They'd be like, oh, not anything to be here. Now, we got to open up our eyes and go, wait a minute. We today woke up on a bed, especially if you're married, you had 50,000 pillows on the bed because women like 50,000 pillows on the bed. You woke up in a great house with a roof over your head, probably your own coffee maker. You probably woke up with a controlled environment of a thermostat. And so I'm just telling you, it's not that way everywhere in the world. So let's do our part to get blessed so we can help people that need help and rescued. If we were really blessed, we could actually fly in and get some of them ourselves. Some of you got your hands up. I don't know about all that. As soon as you said Afghanistan, I started thinking you're getting political. I'm not being political. I'm being practical to tell you that there are people dying around the world, and the government, I told you this way a long time ago, I knew they were screwed up when years ago they called me for advice, a homeschooler from Missouri. That's when I knew we were in trouble. Come on, help me right now. It's okay. I don't. The world doesn't have the answer, but the Word has the answer. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the secret place of the Most High, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said that no weapon formed against you would prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be cut off and shown to be in the wrong. He said that we would be blessed coming in and blessed going out, and everything our hand touches turns to good. He said in Philippians 14, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let gas go to $19 a gallon and we'll still drive 100 miles to church. Let bread go to $50 a gallon and we're a loaf and we'll just feed the poor. We got it. Everybody shout, we got it. Say, we're blessed. You guys are fun. You can tell the different personalities when I'm preaching. A lot of you, you're like me. Yeah, yeah. And then the real conservative people, you know, are like, well, that's nice. I believe that's good. And it's always funny in the hallway, the conservative people are like, that was great. I loved it. And I'm like, I thought you hated me. Next time, show me you like me. And they're like, yeah, not in a public setting. Genesis 4, verse 3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the first of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Some, occasionally. And Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock. And the Lord had respect for Abel's offering, but Cain's offering, he had no respect. And he was wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you mad? Why do you look so sad? Why is your countenance falling? You know what I said. I said that the first belongs to me, and you would occasionally give me the first. In other words, I see that people do this a lot of times. They pay all their bills, and then occasionally they'll honor God. It doesn't work that way. Consistency is the key to anything that you do. In fact, if you think about it, on the diving part, jumping off the boat, if I do it a little bit, then I'm not as afraid. And then I do it a little bit more. I'm like, oh man, I'll just jump off of the water in the Caymans. And I was down at 110 feet. And Nicole's going, because I'm just like oblivious now. I'm not really into math. I'm just into roaming. She's like, blow your eardrums up. You got to stop on the way up, all this stuff. But I get comfortable with it, and then it becomes more normal. It is abnormal to live a supernatural life when you have a flesh that is always speaking contrary to what God is wanting to do. But God is really wanting you in 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. He's wanting us to switch systems. So no longer are we held captive by the stock market, captive by the news media. We go, I don't care what the world says. They're up, they're down, they're selling advertisement, they're selling an agenda, but we are serving Almighty God who will take care of us forever. And we believe that we're blessed, we're favored, we're anointed, we're qualified, and we have loads of opportunity. We're not only going to have this business, we're going to have all the other ones. Because the system of man is broken and failing. Genesis 2, verse 6, it says, and the Lord God formed man in the dust, in the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Now God placed and planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put man he had formed, and the Lord God put all kinds of trees to grow on the ground, and the trees were pleasing to the eye, and they were good for food, but in the middle of the garden, the middle, the center tree, was this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15 says, and the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work it, not to stay home and collect a check, to work it, to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat any tree of the garden, but you must not eat the tree in the middle of the garden, because if you do, you will surely die. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent, the devil, was more crafty than any living creature. Satan said to the woman, can it really be? Really? You can't eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, how many of y'all know you get in trouble when you start talking to the devil? There's a conversation going on. There was an opportunity to live pain-free in childbirth. That was one of their blessings. No epidurals. This was awesome. People always ask me, you know, do you believe in epidurals for women? Is it religious? And I go, absolutely. I believe you should get one the day you find out that you're pregnant, and you keep taking that epidural till they move out of the house. Can I get an amen right there? Just a consistent drip. Okay, so now there's this conversation that happened because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy is trying to tell her that if she steals the tithe tree, that her life is going to be better. If she takes what God said, don't touch, her life would be better. And as soon as she did it, all hell broke loose because they switched system. So, the women, you can talk to Eve when you get to heaven about, I only had two kids, one and four, because of you. There's a curse that comes when we steal what is God. We know that the first is important because for God so loved the world, you know this, that he gave his firstborn, his only son. He gave it. Think about this. You talk about jumping off in the deep water. He gave Jesus not knowing that we would actually obey him. He got us, but he didn't know it. He gave it in faith. Check it out. It takes faith to say every dime out of a dollar belongs to God, and I'm going to first fruit God. Therefore, I'm going to have loads of opportunity, and I'm not going to allow the enemy any longer to steal my blessing by me hanging on to a dime. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to honor God. But a lot of people love money. They just love it. They love it. They pet it. By that, I mean they get out their app on their phone and they look and they go, look at my Bitcoin. It's going crazy. Oh, Bitcoin, I love you so much. Oh, look at my balance. Look where it's at. And then when it goes weird, they jump out of buildings. Out of big high-rise buildings. What in the world are you thinking? You can get more money, but it's over. When you do that, why? Because they loved money, they worshiped money, and money is nothing but a means to an end. It's really only paper. In fact, it's kind of going away. Even now, I tried to get some dimes the other day, and they said, we don't really do dimes anymore. We don't do change anymore. Have you noticed that? Like, change is going away, so is dollars. It'll all be on the app, which don't even, I got to stop now. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, I promised myself I wasn't going down that trail. I'm really proud of me right now, man. I'm just kidding. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after it, they have erred from the faith and they have pierced themselves. God didn't do it. They have pierced themselves with many arrows. So if you love money, you'll know it because the money will make you miss church. Well, I got to work three jobs. I love money, so by honoring God, that would give me less of what I love. We come to church and we, peace be still. No, then I don't know the words, then I will. Those words are for me, by the way. I know this part. Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Come on, sing it. Let faith rise up. I can't tithe because I'm scared. I'm going to lose. And then you're singing it, but it takes a while. But faith eventually will hit your heart and you'll realize, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to stay away from the enemy who's going to try to tempt me to say, look what you could do with that tithe. You could buy a TV. You could get your nails did. You could get a different car. Actually, you could actually get a better car and a bigger car and go pick up people from church. You lie to yourself because you don't go to church half the time. It's the same lie that I tell myself, if I buy those $100 jeans that I'll lose weight, and I don't. I feel another song by the patron Saint Michael. I am not alone. You are here with me. You're just not really honest. You want to be the hero of the story. If you were telling this story, you'd be like, I was holding hands the other day with my wife, running around the ocean with her. She was kind of scared. No, I think bravery starts with humility and being humble and saying, God, you know what? I've messed this up. Remember Chris had a while ago? He said, I tried this without God. I'm going to try it with God. And from all visual, you know, ops here, it seems to be working. He's got our church in Florida right now sitting there at our Florida campus. He was led. I'm almost done because I got to go preach at Earth City. I get to go. And he was led to buy this piece of land that was kind of a swamp area, a bunch of alligators and stuff out there. He was led to buy it real, real cheap. Then the other day, the city of Wellington came to him and said, we want to buy the land. He said, I don't want to sell it. And they said, we want to give you a, you know, he's got like 100 acres. We want to give you like $1 million an acre for the land. And all of a sudden, he felt it prompted to sell that land. See, God will have you at the right place at the right time and set you up, because in this last days, it is high time to obey God. Come on, somebody, 100% with the tithe. So here's the trick. I'm done because I got to go. You got to have that conversation I had with myself on the boat. David, number one, it's terribly embarrassing when you're telling your wife that you're going to protect her. You got her on the land. But as soon as you get in the water with Mimo, you're like, It's terribly embarrassing. It's even worse when Nicole tells the kids, like, you know, and everybody's there, and she's like, I'm going to save him. He's going to be okay. And she's like, you don't look grateful. I'm like, it's not that I'm not grateful. Just I'd rather not talk about this right now. It's like a guy going and getting a mani-pedi. I do it, but I don't want to talk about it, except I tell you guys everything like you're my therapist. You got to have a conversation with yourself and say, I'm done stealing from God. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways I've found that people do it really well is they do the automated giving. Then you know roughly what you make, and you just automatically put it out, and then when it comes out, it's just like Netflix and Hulu and everything else that takes your money. And so you're like, this God, I'm honoring you with the first, and this is just coming out. And then when I get blessed, remember it said with all your increase, so then if you make money on this or God blesses you over there, you can't stay where you were. It's not like Chris is going, hey, he was able to buy out a competitor because this other business that he's in real big. I mean, it's always good when you have enough money to buy out your competitors and then you can set the prices. I don't know if you knew that, but this is like big time priority. So God blesses him, and I'm just using him today. I could grab a lot of different people. But he adjusted the delta when God started blessing him. Amen. Business people, a lot of times they do this. I'm a tither, I am. And I see a boat and I see all the great things, and I don't care, but I'm like, it's really weird. I tithe off my salary. Well, how much do you make? I pay myself $100,000 a year. How do you afford the jet? How do you afford that in my mind? But what it is they use all the business money as personal endowment. They get taxed on it, but they don't honor God. Here's the whole kick. I don't care. I really, really don't. I'm just saying I want to show you what God said so you can switch systems, because I've watched it happen so many times to where when you honor God, God honors you. Last story, because I really do have to go. Just got a video on my phone a minute ago. I got a text from a guy out on his yacht. He owns the Weather Channel and a lot of other channels there in Palm Beach. And he was out there talking about watching church online, talking about his commitment to Jesus, talking about everything that's going on. And this guy has totally honored God in a huge way. And God's honoring him. So online, here's how this works. By online works when it's like, hey, this is a vacation day, then online works. I live in Timbuktu and I can't possibly come to church, but if online is, hey, I live in, I just saw you, Avery, so sorry, Festus. And so I live in Festus and, you know, I'm just gonna stay home and kind of pay my bills and watch and praise God. That's not really acceptable. Totally online, completely acceptable when you're way away. But it would be kind of like, Nicole's like, hey, will you come kiss me? Like, I really love you, you know? I mean, and I was like, you're all the way upstairs, you know? How about a FaceTime kiss? You do that with Liam, our grandson, this works. How many of y'all know she'd be like, no, I want you to come upstairs. We'll try it again over here. Anybody else? You can't, I can't FaceTime her. I could just do a video and go, every time you want to see me and get a kiss, just put it in your favorites and then just click it and then I'm there for you. How many of y'all, I'll be there for you. How many of y'all think that's not right? Y'all never vote except for her. You're like, yeah, absolutely. She protects you. She saved your life in the deep blue sea. Get your butt upstairs and give her a smooch. Okay, well, God. I never use the word smooch. I don't know where that came from. I gotta go. Here's my point. We do a lot virtually, and that's wonderful. But don't live your life virtually. Let's get off the phone, get to the throne, have conversation with one another. And I'm guilty of it big time. Like my screen time, I don't even want to tell you guys. I would never want that transparency to be that way. But I mean, I pretty much burn through phone batteries, a couple of them a day, because I just run everything through the phone. And sometimes I'll look up and realize, oh man, somebody was trying to talk to me and I don't even know what they said. So let's make one time a week honor God. Let's give God 10% of our time. Let's give him the first part of our week. So Sunday's the first, or Saturday for you is the first. So let's just start a brand new rest of the year. We've got August, September, October, November, December. We got five, there you go. We got 5 months to let God's favor, blessing, and breakthrough come in our life in a great way. And everybody said amen and amen. Stand up with me. Father, I pray right now for every campus, Earth City, Sunset Hills that I'm in now, and Weldon, and God, Florida, and RPC, and Weldon, God, all of them. God, I pray for every business person right now that's worried, that's concerned. God, that they'll have peace in the middle of the storm because we're going to honor you, and we're going to tithe and give because we believe in you. We thank you for your favor and your grace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Let's sing it, church.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.